Should I go ahead and start, Miss Bicky? Miss Bicky says we should start. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, great to see y'all here in the sanctuary this evening. And anybody that happens to be online, let's praise the Lord this evening, shall we? Oops. Technical difficulties. Is that track 24? Did I get it right? Praise the Lord. Majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains they bow down before you. So all joy. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. Please welcome Pastor Steve.
One, check two. Just a few of us here, I guess. My ambition of wanting to have Sunday night in lieu of Tropical Storm Nicholas bearing down on us maybe wasn't the wisest decision, but it's really not going to hit until, I mean, you'll be home before it hits unless you go get some groceries or something. You may get wet. Huh? They're all online? Good group? Is a good group online? Well, hey, you folks online, good to have you with us tonight online. Good to see you tonight. And as always, thank you for your continued support with your attendance online and your financial support of your tithes and your offerings, and most of all, your prayers. Thank you for continuing to pray for the church. Pray for me. Pray that the gospel continues to go forth. We thank you. We couldn't do it online people without you, so we're glad to have you with us tonight. Any praises? Let's do that first. Praises. Any praises tonight? Praises. Anything online? Praises? Okay. Amen. That's praise. All right. Praises? Yes, sir, Ron. Yes.
And I was basically the only teacher. Miss Whitney volunteered to help set in there while I had all the kids.
Well, praise God for that, yeah.
Yes. And but I think it turned out really good for the first
week. Yeah. How many did y'all end up having?
I think I had 8 or 9 kids.
Yeah, okay. Right. So that worked out.
That worked out.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to these kids this way.
Talk to these kids. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
But they all got the same message, and I think they understood what was being said.
That's great. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for doing that, Brother Ron. Amen. The Awana program. Any other praises tonight? Anything else? All right. Prayer requests. Let's do that. Yes, sir. Oh, Raymond's heading to Saudi Arabia. How long is he going to be over there? All right. Heading to Saudi. Okay, Raymond Tosh, Traveling Mercies for Raymond. Is he working with Aramco? Aramco? Do you know the company? Nah, that's all right. Raymond heading to Saudi Arabia. All right, we'll be praying for him. All right, other prayer requests. Anything else? Sharon, okay. So they're not going to let her go. No. Sharon Highbarger. Pray the swelling goes down in that foot. Goes down. All right. What else? Yes, sir, in the back. What's her name? Gwenny. All right, Gwenny. Way to go. Gwenny. Recovered from the COVID. Amen. All right. That's good. All right. Anything else? Prayer requests. Want to continue to pray for Johnny Hyman? He had a rough night last night. He is, I don't know how many weeks he's been in the hospital now, but it's starting to get on up there, and he's on a vent. He's, of course, got the COVID, and they're trying to get him lined out. He's 50, 56, I want to say, 55, something like that. So had a rough night. They had to put him back on the paralytics. He was fighting that vent, so he didn't want it in, and so they got to have it in right now so his body will heal up. So just pray for Johnny Hyman. That's Sakura Hermes' son, retired HPD officer, so I want to pray for him, Johnny Hyman, his wife, Jeanette. So I want to lift them up. What else? What else? Anything else? That's right. Miss Alita. Yep. Cataract surgery. Back surgery. What else? Is there another surgery? I don't know. She's got some gallbladder issues. I know that. All right, Alita, we'll be lifting her up. Yes, ma'am. How are they doing with it? Haven't heard. Okay. Okay. He's trying to get over it. Okay. The what now? Oh, yeah. And what's his grandson? Chris Williams. Okay, with COVID. All right. Very good. We'll lift those up. Yes, sir, in the back. August 17th. So what's today? Almost a month. Coming up 3.5 weeks or 3 weeks plus. Thank you, Miss Pat.
Sorry. I'm still not sure about that.
Uh-oh. I hit something on my phone. It's wanting to talk to me.
I don't know what you mean by,
can y'all hear that? Praise the Lord. All right, well... All right. Well, hopefully it'll stop. It's that Siri. That Siri on your iPhone? Siri, whatever her name is. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Other prayer needs? All right. Before we pray, anybody have an encouraging word or scripture they want to share with us that's blessed them over the past week? Scripture, verses? Okay. You did. You witnessed to one of your granddaughters. What can you say her name? Stacy. Was she receptive? Oh, praise the Lord. All right. That's good. It's a good word, Miss Bicky. Stacy, granddaughter. Salvation. So is she close, you think? All right. Amen. So she's close to salvation. Where does she live geographically from here? Okay. Well, all right. Okay. All right. Outstanding. Very good. Drifting back. Amen. That's a good word. All right. Any other encouraging word or scriptures that have blessed you over the past week? Anything else? Anything popping up online there back there now? Okay. All right. Very good. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's lift these things up tonight. Amen? Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we can gather, Lord, in just relative comfort this evening, Lord. The AC's a pumping and it feels great in here. And Lord, first of all, we just praise you for our salvation. We want to thank you each and every day, Lord, that you have called us unto salvation. You've convicted us unto salvation. And Lord, we have expressed saving faith in you as our personal Lord and Savior. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for saving sinners such as us and for setting us apart to be a part of your bride, to be a part of your church. It is a privilege like none other, and we praise you and we thank you for it tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather here in person. We can gather online and receive the truth that way. Lord, we pray that the gospel message from this church, from this pulpit, from this place would continue to go forth, that your people, God's people, would continue to support, give of their tithes and offerings, pray like they've never prayed before, so that this place can be the church, God, that you've called it and created it to be. We want to be obedient. We want to be faithful. Lord, we want to get the word out. We want to live it. We want to get it out. So, Lord, we're just thankful for the opportunity tonight. We lift up these praises to you, Lord. We pray for the we praise you for the Awana program. We thank you for Brother Ron, his just stick-to-itiveness, just a one-man guy this past Wednesday, Lord, but he stood and went for it. And, Lord, had a group come, and we're just thankful for them. Thankful for the word that got sown into their little young hearts. And, Lord, we know they take that to the house. Talk about that with parents and brothers and sisters. And Lord, sir, we're thankful that the gospel's going out that way. We're thankful for Miss Whitney that helped on short notice. And Lord, we just pray you prosper that Awana program. We pray, Lord, you draw the workers back to it. It's a difficult time in the midst of the pandemic, having kids from outside the church and outside the school even want to come and attend it. And so, Lord, we just pray for your protection around it. And Lord, we want to try to have it, But, Lord, we want to be smart about it. So we're just going to pray, God, and pray that your just Holy Spirit would protect in such a way that there would not be any kind of a COVID outbreak in the Awana program. Nobody would pick it up here. Nobody would come with it. Lord, we pray that those little babies and kids want to come be a part. If they're not feeling good, they tell their mom, tell their dad, tell their caregiver, and they just take some time off or go get a test or whatever they need to do. But Lord, we pray the Awana program would get back going this fall and would just be a blessing to those kids that come and attend and would bring about seeds of salvation sown. And ultimately, Lord, in the near future or perhaps even a year from now, there would be some salvations because of the faithfulness of your people and the power of the gospel. So, Lord, we just lift Awana's up to you and praise you for it. We're thankful that Gwenny has recovered from the COVID, Lord, and we just give you all the praise and glory and honor for that. Thank you for little Gwenny and that she's come through the COVID. Lord, as we lift up these prayer requests to you tonight, we pray for Brother Raymond Tosh as he gets ready to travel to Saudi Arabia. We pray for a safe flight there and a safe flight back, a good month of work in between. And, Lord, just watch over him. Lord, just help him be a witness over there in Saudi. And, Father God, we pray you help him. Lord, we continue to pray for Sharon, and we pray that this swelling in the foot goes down from the car wreck and that, Lord, they get her ready to have that surgery and get her back on the path to healing and back to normal and back to going back to work and all the things she's missing right now and needing and wanting to do. But we lift her up to you tonight. Pray a special prayer for Johnny Hyman. And, Lord, we know it's just kind of getting touch and go with him. But, Lord, we know you're the God of healing. You're the great physician. And, Lord, you, sovereign, you knew all about this pandemic before we did. And so, God, we're praying that you would touch his body, bring healing to his body. Pray that his lungs would heal, his kidneys would function. And, Lord, there would not be any kind of systemic organ failure, that his body would just be able to withstand this induced coma that they've got him in right now with the paralytics. And Father God, we pray you bring him through to the other side. We know Johnny's going to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for his healing. Lord, we know if you decide to take him home, he's going to give you the praise, glory, and honor. But Lord, selfishly, we want to keep him. We want him here with us right here, right now. And so God, we pray you touch him and bring healing to old Johnny Hyman's body. We lift up his wife, Jeanette. Lord, help her as she's keeping the home fires going. With their kids and grandkids there on the Socorro Hermes compound. And so, Lord, we just lift that whole family up to you tonight. We pray for Miss Alita, and, Lord, we pray for these cataract surgeries that she's going to be undergoing here in the next couple of weeks. And then she's got this back thing going on, perhaps a back surgery coming. And then, Lord, even some gallbladder and some diagnostic testing with her with her digestive system, Lord. So we just lift Miss Alita up to you. Pray for your healing hand on her. Pray for the surgeons that are going to be doing procedures on her, Lord. And we just pray that you would help her with these health issues. And then, Lord, also help her with this job search as she's seeking to get back in the employment. Lord, she just got the layoff notice last week. And, Lord, we're praying now that you begin to open that door and show her that that job that she needs to take. So, Lord, we lift up Miss Alita to you tonight. Lord, we pray for Kenzie's family and the six there with the COVID. We pray you continue to heal them and get them through. And then, Lord, we pray for Chris Williams with COVID. We pray for healing on his life and on his body. Lord, see him through. And then, Lord, we're thankful that Miss Bicky has talked to one of her granddaughters about coming back to the Lord, salvation, spiritual things. And, Lord, we're thankful that Stacy was receptive. That's a good, good sign. And so, Lord, we pray that there might be a revival in her heart. There might be a repentance and confession and just coming back to the church and being who you've called her and created her to be, who you've saved her to be, God. We pray there'd be a turnaround in Stacy's life. Thank you, Lord, that we can come back when we get wayward, Lord, that we can repent and confess and be, Lord, just experience the cleansing of forgiveness and being back right with you. So we just praise you tonight. Thank you tonight, Lord. And we lift these requests and praises up to you. We pray it would be a sweet aroma to you tonight, Lord, as we seek to worship you in prayer And now, Lord, we pray that you help us as we seek to worship you in the Word, your Word. Father God, may you open our hearts and minds to receive it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. We're going to look at here the last part of this verse 5, and then we're going to seek to introduce the next section of Scripture here. So that's going to be 6 through 11. So first off is 14, 1 through 5. And we've had a couple of runs at this, and we've made some headway, but we haven't quite got through it. But if you got your Bibles, those of you with us online, 14, 1 through 5, you're more than welcome to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. And the Word of God reads this in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." This is their sealing, their sealed, see. "And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps." We talked about how this was a song and they were singing it. "And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth." They were a type of first fruits. "These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless." Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, what we've already covered, we couch this in victory, right? And we are victorious in Christ. And we couch this in being triumphant Christians. And we've kind of marched through these first five verses talking about how triumphant Christians are marked by constant praise to God. And then that was verses 2 and 3. And then we talked about how triumphant Christians take a stand against the sin of their culture. That was beginning in verse 4. And then we talked about how triumphant Christians follow the leadership of their Lord. That was the second half of verse 4. And then on Wednesday night, we had enough time to get through triumphant Christians have a purpose from the Lord. That's that third part of verse 4. "These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb." So as we dive off into what would be new material for us tonight, we're talking about triumphant Christians will not advance Satan's lies, but will speak God's truth. It says in verse 5, "And no lie was found in their mouth." Right? No lie was found in their mouth. The 144,000 will not advance Satan's lies, but will speak God's truth. They will be like those whom Zephaniah prophesied and wrote about in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13. The Word of God reads in Zephaniah 3, 13, "The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they will feed and lie down with no one, for they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble." The unbelieving world during the time of the tribulation will be consumed with the false wonders of the Antichrist, all the deception of wickedness and a deluding influence, which begs the question, why? Because the unbelieving world, just as they do today, they will do then during the time of the tribulation, because the unbelieving world is turned over to what they want. Talked about that mystery about free will and the sovereignty of God this morning. It is a mind blower, a mind boggler, if you will. This free will. And as they choose wrong, God judges them for rejecting his command to receive the gospel. We talk about how it's an invitation, and we have an invitation at the end of most services, or Sunday morning services anyway. But it's really a command to believe. It's a command to believe the gospel. And If that's offensive to people, that means they're not convicted to obey, right? And so you just got to kind of take them where they're at and keep praying for them and keep planting those seeds and sowing those seeds of the gospel. But it really is a command to believe. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. We've given it over and over again as we've gone through the book of Revelation, but it bears repeating again tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 says, "That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth." The love of the truth. What have I been telling you about truth? You take the truth, you receive the truth, you're going to experience what? All the love you ever wanted. All the love your heart ever desired. It is the love of the truth, right? "They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved." Verse 11. "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false." Now, I said through 12, that's just through verse 11. So the 144,000 will accurately and truthfully proclaim the Word of God without wavering, without bending to the culture, or altering the message to please their fellow man. And I don't know if you've been around. I don't know if you keep up with it. I don't know if you listen to other churches or go to other podcasts or search out other things. But friend, there's a crazy bunch of stuff going on in evangelicalism, in Baptist circles, in evangelical free circles, in all kinds of different church circles today. Churches, denominations, pastors, big-name pastors, medium-sized pastors, small-time, man, they are watering down the very gospel of Jesus Christ. They're trying to accommodate their culture because when they look out and they only see 2, 4, 5, 6, they only see 10 people, they only have 15 folks online or 12 online, they go, man, what are we going to do? Friend, that's not your problem. Your problem is just to preach the gospel. If the thing shuts down and you're called to preach, guess what? Another stump will come up. Another stump, another desk, it'll open up. Every pastor deserves a church and every Christian deserves a pastor. It'll happen. Just preach the truth. Hang on, right? Look to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. They don't get it. They don't get it. They think that this is some kind of a business model where it grows like Walmart grows, or it grows like Cisco grows, or it grows like Sonic grows, or it grows like Amway grows, or you know what I'm saying? But that ain't how it grows. God grows it. The Holy Spirit grows it, right? We've got to be faithful. So they're watering it down. I just cannot do it. I won't do it. This one guy just share with you a little bit. This one guy, I cannot remember his name, but he wrote a book, big name pastor. All right, maybe he perceives himself. His church is pretty large, let's just say that. And he wrote a book about how to reach homosexuals and lesbians and the such. But it's not by preaching the truth necessarily to them. It's basically telling them that the Bible doesn't speak really against homosexuality and lesbianism. And, you know, so they can just kind of come on in and be a part of his church. And he characterizes men that preach the Bible. He calls us prophets. And he says, well, if that's your only speed, if telling the truth and telling it with unction and telling it with force and telling it with passion, he basically says, if that's your only speed, you know, if that's your only delivery style, he goes, then you're going to have difficulty reaching people that are in the homosexual and lesbian community. Well, I would dare say he's correct about that. But the word is the word. I can't water it down. I mean, one day he and me are going to stand before Christ and give an account for what we did with it and how we approached it and how we preached it. So these guys in the tribulation, they're going to what? Not going to water it down. they going to accurately proclaim the Word of God without wavering or bending to the culture or altering the message to please their fellow man or woman, right? Likewise, triumphant Christians are characterized by speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15, laying aside falsehood and speaking truth. Ephesians 4:25 we're referring to. Triumphant Christians do not have to be convinced of the importance of accurately handling the word of truth. You don't have to be convinced of that. You just do it. They will be diligent, triumphant Christians will. They will be diligent to present themselves approved to God as workmen who do not need to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. Don't ever be ashamed of the Bible. Don't ever be ashamed of the truth. Now, you can be embarrassed by your pastor, but don't be embarrassed about the gospel. Don't be embarrassed about the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, but we have renounced. Listen to what Paul tells this church at Corinth, second epistle to them. 2 Corinthians 4:2, those of you online. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:2, let that thing sink in, right? So triumphant Christians, as we go through this, will not advance Satan's lies, but will speak God's truth. Now, as we finish these five verses, and we've been going at it for quite a while here, several weeks, the last thing we want to share with you about verse 5 is triumphant Christians will lead sanctified lives. In other words, if you're not leading a sanctified life, you talked about abiding in Sunday school this morning. If you're not abiding with Christ and seeking to live a sanctified life, not to earn your salvation, but because you're saved, if you're not doing that, I doubt there's much victory in Christ going on in your life. And you may be saved. Hey, you may be saved. But you know you're backslid. You know you're out there in left field and you need to come back home, right? So come on back home. But triumphant Christians will lead sanctified lives. How does it end? How does verse 5 end? They are blameless. Simply, they are blameless. They'll not be sinless. No, there's no perfection here. They'll not be sinless, but they will be sanctified. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're talking about being sanctified. These guys will be above reproach. They will be leading godly lives before all who see them, like the 144,000, all Christians. Me, you, those of you watching online, all Christians are called to holiness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Take your Bibles. We'll look at a few passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians, right? Good book. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Make a note or underline this in your Bible or take a note. It's a good one. 2 Corinthians 11:2. The Word of God reads, 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Right? 2 Corinthians 11:2. And then let's look again. Let's go back to Ephesians. I've referred to Ephesians several times. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5:27, those of you online with us. 5:27. The Word of God reads in 5:27, where's it at here, 5:27, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. I mean, that's who we are. That's who we're going to be one day when we're past this time. So we need to start, what, preparing ourselves to be that, right? That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. And then, familiar passage, I know you're familiar with this one, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, those of you online, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. The Word of God reads, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And then one more. Oh, Jude. All right. Let's find Jude. Jude verse 24. No chapter there. They're just verses. Jude verse 24. The book of Jude right before Revelation. So if you're confused about it, just go to chapter 1 of Revelation. And there's Jude. All right. Verse 24. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy." Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, right? And to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. You're not going to buy self-will. You're not going to buy self-will. We talked about that today. Not by self-will. Not by self-help. You're not going to what? You're not going to live a holy, sanctified life. But through the power of the Holy Spirit through you, by self-feeding yourself the Word of God, by conversing with God in prayer, by not forsaking the fellowshipping of the saints, by abiding in Christ, by growing in discipleship, you will shoulder up and work yourself as you go down the narrow path into this sanctified life. Many of you are already there. Many of you are, we're all in different spots on our spiritual journey, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Takes a while, but it does happen. It does happen, and praise the Lord for it. Amen? All right, back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 14, and we'll just introduce this tonight. We won't get too far down the road, but we'll introduce it here. Revelation chapter 14, I've got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to redeem the time here. Chapter 14, beginning in verse 6 now. We're in verse 6. The Word of God says this, "And I saw another angel flying in what? In mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth." And it is an eternal gospel, right? It will ever be, forever and ever. "An eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of water.' And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality.'" And then notice here again, verse 9, "Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Now, that's verses 6 through 11. That's our next section that we're going to be working our way through on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Now, what can we say? We got three angels here. Three angels are speaking. One angel, two angels, three angels. Now, in light of the current events, of the pandemic that we find ourselves in, and where we are as a country, and where we are as a culture, and where we are to a larger degree, where we are as a global people, the question could be asked. And when you think about Afghanistan, and you think about Christians being persecuted, and you think about people starving, And you think about people who have no access to medical care. We're not even talking about vaccinations. They have no access to medical care. You're talking about the people that are leaving this earth day in and day out, every hour, every minute, every second of the day, dying, dying, death, death, pain, pain, suffering, suffering. Could it get? It begs a question. Can it get? Can things get any worse? Can things get any worse? The question speaks to the fact that the human nature, the human mind, the human psyche is always hoping for a better day. Always hoping for a better day. Now, every election cycle, about every 2 years, right? I wish it was every 6 years or every 10 years, but it's every 2 years in this country because the House of Rep, every 2 year term. Every 2 years, these politicians start promising a better tomorrow. A better tomorrow, or at least a better tomorrow under their representative leadership versus their political opponent, right? Depending on your age group, a better future, a better tomorrow means different things to you. So let me just kind of take you through it. If you're a student, high school, junior high, college perhaps, if you're a student, a better tomorrow, certainly if you're in high school, may mean a date for the prom. A better tomorrow may mean unlimited gas. Dad gives you his credit card. Unlimited gas. You got all the money to run around with your friends. You got all the money for the latest phone or gaming device. Depending on your age group, a better tomorrow means different things. For the young adult, a better tomorrow may mean student loans are forgiven. And your dream job becomes a reality. For the median age adult, we want a good stock market. We want low crime. We want high property values, but we also want low taxes, right? We're not asking for much. That's a whole lot we're asking for. For the senior adult, for those that are seniors, a better tomorrow is represented by good health care. It's represented by cures for their diseases and sicknesses that come at the end of life. And a better tomorrow is represented by plenty of money to do what they want, to follow their hobbies, to live their leisure. Fox News, I've mentioned this to you before, Fox News attempts to sell you their version of what a better day would be like. CNN, likewise, has their version of what a better day would look like. You can go online and there is YouTuber after YouTuber that is telling you, if you'll just listen and click on their video, what a better world will look like. Scientists attempt to work in their labs for this elusive better day in the future. And the world, the old world out there at large, seems to be waiting for the next big break, the next big breakthrough, whether in energy or medicine or agriculture, that will make tomorrow better than today. Our president, I pray for him on a weekly basis. One of his mantras is electric cars, electric cars. Friend, do you realize if we all went to electric cars, what would they do with all of those batteries after about 5, 6, 10 years? What would we do with those? What in the world would we do with those, right? Oh, electric cars, it's the next better day of tomorrow. No, my friend, it is not. Humanity's efforts to bring about a better world, however well-intended, are ultimately doomed. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but the amount, humanity's efforts amount to little more than rearranging the deck chairs on a sinking ship so that everyone has a better view as the ship goes under. That's all it is. Humanity is not in control of this world. God is. The sovereign biblical reality is that the future is not going to get better. Now, there may be little upticks and say, oh, well, that's better. But ultimately, things are trending down. They are going to get unimaginably worse. Now, I'm not planning on being around for the tribulation when it gets really bad. But the tribulation will experience the God of this universe pouring out His wrath and judgment on a scale never before seen. Only after the earth is utterly devastated and unbelievers judged will a better day come. It's called the thousand-year earthly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the better day. Now, judgment and revelation go hand in hand. Judgment and revelation, revelation and judgment, however you want to say it. As we go through this great book on the end times, this prophetic book, much of Revelation speaks of the coming judgments. We have already covered chapters 6 through 11, whose primary focus was judgments. When we get to chapters 15 through 19, guess what? The major theme of judgment will be picked up again. Now, where we have found ourselves over the last several weeks and months has been chapters 12 through 14. Now, which form a brief interlude in the unfolding revelation of God's judgmental wrath. So that's what we're in now. We're in this last part of this interlude, so to speak. You'll remember chapters 12 and 13. 12 and 13 have been seen to recount the events of the tribulation from whose perspective? Satan's perspective. And now that we've gotten back into chapter 14, we return to what God is going to do. Now, in three visions, starting in chapter 14, 1, three visions for John. In three visions, this text previews the remaining judgments of the tribulation and the return of Christ. The first vision that John had was verses 1 through 5. We just finished it up. Was of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will appear with the Lord Jesus Christ on Mount Zion at His second coming. Before us, in verses 6 through 11, I'll get it right here in a minute, is the record of the second vision, John's second vision in chapter 14, in which judgment is proclaimed by three angelic angels. And so we'll leave it there. Amen? Little introduction. We'll pick it up on Wednesday night, make a few introductory comments, and keep on chugging down the road. Amen and amen? Amen. All right, let's have a closing word of prayer and you'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for those that were with us online, for those that dared to drive out tonight in the midst of a tropical storm, might even reach hurricane status before it makes landfall. Lord, thank You for these that drove out, and Lord, we pray that You give us safety going home. Thank You for our again, loving us, Lord. And Father God, we pray that as we always pray when these storms come, that, Lord, there would be minimal loss of property. And, Lord, we always pray for no loss of life. We know that there people make unwise decisions. But, Lord, in the midst of that, we pray that You might, in spite of poor decisions, that You might save people physically so that perhaps they might be saved spiritually, Lord. So, Lord, we're praying for protection. We're praying for Your hand upon us. We're praying for Your watch care. And certainly, Lord, over this property and over the membership of this congregation and over the people that call this place their home, Father God, we pray You watch after our folks and other folks that we know and that we love. So, Lord, thank You for all that You do. We know that these storms are just a part of what's going on during these times. But, Lord, we pray that You watch over us and You help us. Be with us, Lord, as we start this new week. And Lord, we seek to abide in You. And Lord, we seek to really tap the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We want to hear the Spirit's leanings, and we want to hear the Spirit's direction. And Lord, we do that through the Word of God. And we do that as we pray and as we hear, as we just listen in the stillness of our hearts and our inner man. We hear the very will of God, perhaps not an audible voice, not an audible voice, but we're just nudged in this way or that way, or we just have this sense, this is what we're to do and this is how we're to go. And Lord, when those things line up with the Word of God, we know it's the Holy Spirit telling us to do it. And so, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for that. May we keep short sin accounts this week so that we've not grieved that Spirit. We've not quenched that Spirit. But that old second, that old third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is ready to help us and lead us. And so, Lord, may we follow you as we follow the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us again. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. With time? Well, no, you do. I ran out of time. Sorry. I tried. All right, online folks, we'll see you. Have a good week.